all the time.
God is good.
Mm. So it's nice to be here tonight. Hallelujah. I give glory to the Lord. And I greet our senior pastors. Pastor and Daddy and Mama, God richly bless you. Greet Pastor Richard, Pastor JC, and all the pastors, and all the leaders, and all the church members, and especially our visitors. Is anyone here who is here for the first time? The first time that you are here? Wow. Every day we are growing. Let's give a hand of applause to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the great things the Lord is doing. Are you ready for the word? Are you sure? Okay. Tonight, I want to introduce to you a wonderful man of God that will give us the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Do you want to see him? With a hand of applause, let's welcome Pastor JC tonight to come and give us the word of God. Bless you, Pastor.
Good evening, church. Now, let's open the Bible to 2 Chronicles and chapter 2. And we will read a verse from chapter 2 and a verse from chapter 3 and a verse from chapter 5. Eh? In 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom." Eh? And the word I want us to look at is determined. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1. So we're looking at this word determined or determination. It says, "And Solomon determined." Let's all say it. "And Solomon determined."
"And Solomon determined."
What is determination? Eh? Very good. I mean, that's a Richard there, Santini, but I mean, it's also we are Santini, sir. You know. She said it exactly in the Ashanti language, and I thought that Richard is the main Ashanti man. I look at the way, you know, he speaks and all that, and I thought that he was the real Ashanti. You're just from home, I can understand that, you know. You know, for a person to come to that place where he says, "I'm going to do this by hook or crook, and nothing is going to stop me." It is so different from, you know, a wish or wishful thinking. It's so different from desire. It is when you come to that place where you say, "I am going to do this, come rain or shine." That is what is determination. And I've been thinking for a long time that, you know, this was a word usually used by athletes and other sportsmen. They say that he's determined to break that record. And so he's going to take all his time and train and, you know, do whatever it takes to break that record. He's going to stay away from certain foodstuff. He's going to get up early in the morning to go and overstretch himself. That is determination. It's not like, "I want to have it." You know, not that loose kind of, you know, wish. And the Bible says that this man, Solomon, you know, God had granted him wisdom, and God had told him that you're going to be wiser than anybody. And therefore, we got a lot of things to learn from his life. Because he was the wisest man that ever lived. And he, wanting to build a house for the Lord, and wanting to do something for God and for himself, he felt that the first thing I need is not boldness, it's nothing. You know, the only thing that should be first and my item should be determination. He says, "I'm going to determine to do this for God." And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. First, he wants to do something for God, and then he wants to do something for himself. That's what Jesus teaches. He says that, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." And in our lives, especially as Christians, that's how we've got to live. Do something for God and do something for ourselves. We come to church, we put in our offerings, we pray, we do all those things for God. We buy our shirts and jeans and suits and all those things for ourselves. You understand that? We as human beings, we got both spirit, soul, and body.
And they are all important, and whichever way you look at it from the Bible's point of view, when the Bible speaks about salvation, it will either use the word sozo or sotera, and both of them means the same thing, that total salvation for the total man. And that's how come Jesus cares for not just our spirits, but also for our souls and for our bodies. And therefore the Bible will say that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. So that our bodies will be healed, so that we will have peace in our soul, so that our spirits will be forgiven. And so God cares about every aspect of the human life. And that's how we live. And sometimes we want to project one above the other. And the only way that can be right or true is that we need to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. We got to understand what Jesus teaches, that if you shall gain the whole world and lose your soul, you know, it doesn't profit you anything. And therefore we got to find a place for our soul. That does not mean that we got to neglect our bodies. Do you understand that? And so the man says that I'm going to determine to build a house for God, and then I'm also going to build something for myself. And it doesn't matter how you project yourself as being spiritual, there are other things that you do for yourself. You can't tell me that you go to buy the ice cream for God. Do you? Eh? Or you saw that shoes and I said, this is a very nice shoes. I've got to get it for Christ. Where does Christ come in? He doesn't come in any way about your shoes and about your watch and about that flashy car you see that you want. Of course, there's nothing wrong with any of them, and he wants us to have them. But those are things you do for yourself. And we got to be determined. Say it, determined. For whatever you want to do for God, you got to be determined for that. Don't just make any loose decision. Is going to come as something you are determined to do. And that's where the Ashanti people will say Nintaswa and the rest of the languages, I don't really know. The English are saying by hook or crook. The French, they say de toute façon. They said, nothing is going to stop me from doing this. I'm going to do it. Come rain, come shine. It doesn't matter who agrees or who disagrees. I'm going to do this. This is the path I've taken. It could be difficult, but I'm still going to do it. And that's what Solomon placed first on his list. Determination. But if you don't have anything as your vision, if you don't have any aim, then for what are you going to be determined? And therefore, the first thing we need to have before we even think about being determined is, what do I want in my life? What do I want to do for God? What do I want to do for myself? For what are you going to be determined? Determined to do what? Determined to sleep? No. So we've got to have a vision. We've got to say, I want to achieve this. I want to move from point A to B. I want to move from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And therefore, I am determined to do that. And no one is going to stop me. And Solomon determined to build a house. No, determination, it goes on within our mind. It goes on our base. It goes on as we think about what we want to do. You want to build a church? You determine you're going to build a church. You want to build a school? You determine you're going to build a school. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, it's got to be backed up by determination. And the next thing we want to read is chapter 3 and verse 1 in the same Second Chronicles. Chapter 3 and verse 1. So it's a continuation of a story. It's one full story. I want to tell you that if you want to really understand the Bible, don't pick it in pieces. Eh? So you pick here, and then you leave the rest, and then you go and pick here, and then you leave the rest, and you go and pick here. You will not really understand it. You will become like a Jehovah's Witness. You know, you know pieces of the Bible, but this is one whole story. Do you know that when the Bible was first written, there wasn't any chapter 1, verse 2, and do you know that? This was done for study purposes. That's how come, you know, so that we can be able to quote it and to say, go directly to this place. That's how come you know, it had to be put into verses and chapters. Otherwise, it's one whole story. And it says that, then Solomon began. Say it, began.
Yes.
Began.
Yes.
So you think about something and don't leave it as an idea. We got too many ideas. You know, we open maybe our dairies or open our laptops. You're going to find so many things we thought about. And said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And we haven't done anything about them. The idea is not going to, you know, happen unless you begin. And so Solomon determined, and then Solomon began. You understand it? You see how it follows. So let's read from chapter 2, verse 1, and then let's jump to chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody, do you have it on the board? Okay, then Solomon began. So go back. Stop this HCSB something. Go to the King James, please. Then Solomon, no, this is not the King James. It says, then Solomon determined. Okay, and then go to chapter 3 and verse 1. Do you have a way of putting them together? Then Solomon began. You cannot put them all together, eh? So there's Solomon determined and Solomon began. Have you thought about anything you want to do for God? Begin to do it. Right. Don't just make it an idea. Ideas alone doesn't profit anybody. Unless it is implemented. That's why people always attack the politicians. They say, you came here, you said you're going to build a clinic here. Where's the clinic? It was only an idea. You said it is on paper. And when it's on paper, nobody is going to be treated on paper. We want to see the thing begun. It should be sitting as a clinic so the sick person can walk in there and get treated. So the fact that you come here and you come with all the pressmen with your cameras and whatever and say, I am the mayor and we're giving you 2 clinics for this year, it's not going to help anybody. It's only going to benefit people when you begin to do it. When you say, God, I'm going to give you money, it doesn't benefit God in any way. It doesn't benefit the church in any way. It's only when you begin to give. When you say, God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to be very prayerful this year, it's of no use. It only becomes useful when you begin to pray. When you say, I'm going to study, the idea that you're going to study doesn't help in any way. It only becomes helpful when you begin to study. You understand it? So this one wise man determined and then began. Otherwise, you're only paying lip service. You're only talking about things. Eh? I don't understand the language very well, but there's also one thing they say in the language. Say, who do you want to kodo enyura ibingo? You see, they got some shrubs or whatever, and it's very thorny. It's full of thorns. They say that if you want to clear them, weed them, with your mouth, you're never going to get hurt. Why? Because you're only talking about them. It's like a barbed wire. You say, I'm going to move this barbed wire, I'm going to clear this place. You move it with your mouth. Nothing is going to happen to you. You will feel the thing pinching you when you begin the action. Now, it also actually implies that if you're just talking and not beginning to do anything, you must as well shut up because it's useless. You understand that? Amen. So this wise man was not only talking. He began to do it. And in our lives, if we are ever going to achieve anything, then what we need to do is to determine, number one, and the next thing is to begin. Yes. It shouldn't stay as an idea. Don't say, I even thought about doing it. So what? Who give a damn what you thought about? Thought about it. How is it going to help anybody? No way. If people thought about building the school and they never built it, would you have been there to get your certificate? If the government thought about building Frey Hospital and never built it, would you have been there? If you thought about building this road and never built it, ideas alone don't benefit anybody. The ideas become helpful, it becomes beneficial to the society when we begin to implement them. And therefore Solomon began, and we have to begin what we have determined to do. You understand it? Whether it's about yourself or whether it's about things you want to do for God. It's not enough to say, I'm going to win 10 souls to the church. Talk is cheap. You heard about this man of God, T.L. Osborne? Eh? He likes to say that. He says, talk is cheap. I can stand here and say, tomorrow I'm going to buy a helicopter. It doesn't cost anything to buy it. With a mouth. You can say that. I tell you that by next year, by this time, I will have a PhD in theology. I just say it. I'm not going to pay the fees. I'm not going to study. It's easy to say things. You understand that?
Yes.
You can say whatever. You can even say, I'm going to chase away the president. I'm going to be the president of the country. You're just saying it with your mouth. In the same way, you can also say that, I'm going to pay 10,000 rands to the church. It's just with your mouth. You see? But when you're determined to do something, begin. Right? And Solomon began. Let's read a bit further in the chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build a house for the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign. So the Bible is giving us date. Now, if you want to bring it into our modern calendar, it will be the second day of the second month, 2nd February. You understand that? So give us the date when you're going to begin to do what you have determined to do.
Amen.
Then, you know, sometimes when you want to talk practical things with people, they want to make it so spiritual as if they live in heaven. And yet they went to Pick and Pay and bought their meat, and bought their chilies, and bought their Coca-Cola. All of them were made here. Their jeans was made here in Durban, Pinetown. That make it super spiritual. Because even Jesus understood the principle that we do not only live by our spirits. And therefore, after he spoke the gospel to the people, he also blessed some food and gave it to them to eat. And that wasn't spiritual food, was it? It was fresh. You see? You got to combine them. And so he gives us a date that it was in the 2nd February that this man began to build. Now, what are you determined to do? When are you going to do it? Are you going to tell us that it is in the hands of the Lord? As for the Lord, everything is in his hands. Don't say that. You know, it's of no use saying that. It's just like saying, I'm not going to do anything. Give dates. Start it. Let there be a starting point. You said, I'm going to pray, start today or start tomorrow. Have a date. Let's say that I started on the 1st of January. Christians, especially Pentecostals, we don't like to come with the facts. Sometimes they say, and the Lord moved. I used to write reports as a missions director, whatever. And so I got to write reports about the crusades and whatever, and put it into the bulletin. And then, what is the report? What happened at your place? The Lord moved at the all night. He moved us. What did he do specifically? What can I write? I cannot just write, and the Lord moved. How did he move? And they say, why are you challenging, you know, the move of God? What was the move of God? Tell us, how did he move? And the moment she says it, several other people will begin to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Especially people are emotional. You will even see some with tears. Ah, the Lord moved. How did he move? What did he do? Can I just take a pen and say, and the Lord moved? Wow. When you ask facts, then they say, don't bring these media things. Don't say those things. The Lord moved. If there was no evidence of his moving, what are you talking about? And you can talk about it, but I've got to take a pen and write it and give it to the secretary and take it to all those people you call mission partners. They want to see what their money went into and all those things. I cannot just say, and the Lord moved. Moved what? How? Tell us exactly what happened. and you want to start something, give us the date. Give yourself and God the date that tomorrow I am going to begin. Next month on the 17th, I'm going to begin. You want to witness to people and bring them to church? Have a date. Say, I am going to start this day or that day or that day. You want to begin to pray? Have a date. Don't become super spiritual. It doesn't help. It's a lie. And so the Bible tells us that on the second day of the second month, he began. Now the next thing I want us to see is chapter 5 and verse 1 of 2 Chronicles says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Say it, he finished. He finished. And so we have underlined about three words, eh? Who can tell them? Very good. I knew that you guys are very intelligent. You're very clever, you know. He determined, he began, and he finished. And that's what we need in every success story. You got to determine to go to school, and you got to go to school even if you are beaten. Right? Even if the course is hard, you got to stay in there. And you've got to finish it, because if you don't finish, it still doesn't help anybody. If this church, if they determined to build this house and they started building it and they stopped somewhere and they didn't put the roof in, could we be here? That flat where you live, if they determined and they began it and didn't finish, could you be living in with all the rains and all the elements? Can you? I ask you, Mr. Eddie, if someone gives you the kaba or something to sew, you sew every part of it, and I wouldn't know the technical terms. I only hear about the seam and some funny things that I cannot mention. All right, but you don't put the neck. Will the person accept it? Can he wear it? So we need to determine, and we need to begin, and we need to finish. And whether it's about some spiritual thing you want to do, that's what you need. See the people who organize coup d'etats. They see that this government sitting there, he's got his army. He's got a minister of defense. They're very, very, very alert. They're there to protect him. But they say, we determined to go and topple him. They also go and have their own agenda. They take their ammunition and they go there to face these people. And they begin and they finish. And the next time, there's somebody called Jerry John Rawlings. He's the head of state in Ghana. You see how it works? If you want to dissect their minds, it all works with determination. It works with beginning, and it works with finishing. And if you want to check any success story, how that people learned your trade or whatever, and there will always be troubles, there will always be challenges. There will always be unforeseen shortages showing up. But hey, I did not know that it was going to be this hard. It will always pop up. The devil will always shoot up. But you've always told yourself that it doesn't matter what I'm going to go through. I heard about a song and they say that the song is in a Ghanaian language and it says that whoever we meet, even if it's the lion, we're going to crush it and go through. So in your life, if you say that things are going to be easy, you're lying. We're not in heaven yet. We are still here on earth. And the devil is also here. But thanks be to God, we've been given victory over him. Yes. And so nobody can also say that as a result of the devil coming my way, I'll have to abandon what I'm supposed to do. Never. Jesus Christ, he says that the devil, he's got power, but I give you power over his power. You understand that? In Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, the disciples come back to him after he sent them, and they come with a good report. And all the people, 70, he sent them out, and all the 70 come. And they said, we all want it over the devil. You understand it? It means we can all have the victory. The fact that not 69 came with a good report, but all 70 of them, they all came back and they said, The devils were subject unto us because we went with your name. Amen.
And Jesus says, are you afraid of this devil? You know, don't be happy that the devils were subject unto you. I was in heaven when we threw him down like lightning. Do you understand, you know, that statement Jesus made? Sometimes you think this is a great soldier. And someone who knows him, this small boy, I used to beat him all the time. That's what Jesus was doing. This devil you're afraid of. I was there when we threw him down. You know, sometimes you think that this man is big. Well, once I'm teaching people the Bible, and they say, this guy is doing well, this. And then a man comes around, he's my father's friend. Obviously, he's known me long before I was born. He was there when I was born. And so he says, no, the British people, when they came, they brought the Bible because, you know, they had come to steal our gold and things, and they didn't want us to kill them, so they put into a book and they say, thou shalt not kill. So we will not kill them. Thou shalt not, you know, because they came with their beautiful wives and they didn't want anybody to go chase their wives. So they said that thou shalt not covet their neighbor's wife and this and this and this. So these things are not from God. And I said, no, Papa, that's not true. The Bible says this and this and this and this and this. And the people turn around and tell me, no, Papa, I think what JC is saying is correct. What the pastor is saying is, you see, Jesus Christ. I was there when they gave birth to this boy. Now he's challenging me. Now he's behaving like he knows something. You know. And the people say, no. Papa, you don't know the Bible. What he's saying is the truth. And the man, you know, feels like he doesn't understand at all. I know you. That day, when your mother gave birth to you, your father had this car. We drove there to go and pick you from the hospital. Now you're challenging me. Now, that man can never be afraid of me because he knows me when I was like this. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying, that this devil, I was there when we threw him down. And the other point is that I give you power to tread on his works, tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and that nothing shall by enemies hit you. So for anybody to use the devil as an excuse and say the devil is neither here nor there, God doesn't want to hear that. You know, God wants the Christian to get up and when he sees the devil coming, to put the devil down completely. And there can be no disputing about that. Because all the 70, they came back and they said, they were subject unto us. We went there with your name and nobody could resist us. See the way the Bible puts it. Say, resist the devil and he will flee. There's no way he's going to say he's going to stand there. And because God's word, it says the final boundary. Amen. Now, like you sing here, that, you know, Jehovah has the final word or has the final say. He says, when you come against the devil must run away. And that flee comes from a Greek, which actually means you run in fear. You run knowing that something terrible is going to happen to you. You know, if it's raining, I may run away. But even if I don't run, I'm only going to get wet. Nothing is going to happen to me. But if a man pulls the AK-47, I've got to run knowing that if he triggers that thing, I'm going to die. And that's what the devil does. The moment the Christian comes up against him, then the devil knows that I've got to leave this place. Otherwise, I am in trouble. And that's the naked truth. That's the naked truth, that you resist him. In South Africa, you know, nobody understands resistance better than you. Because you have to resist apartheid. You know, you say, no ways, I'm not going to allow you here. This is our country. You've come from Europe to take it. We will not allow it. And you keep bombing the people and doing this. And, you know, women are going to walk around and organize tutus and all those things. You have to put them together to resist the oppression of the apartheid system. And that's the same way we got to face the devils, you know, and tell them that go back. There's no place here for you. And it's as simple as that. And you don't need a certificate or a degree or whatever in theology to do that. Jesus said to all the people that I give all of you the power. Amen. To do this. And so we need to, in our own lives, what we want to do for our lives and what we want to do for God, to be determined and to begin and to finish what we start.
For 2 minutes, if you want to ask me a question, it's fine. You can ask a question and then we're going to pray. So it is about determination and it is about beginning and finishing. I promise I'll give you a cup of coffee if you put that on the board, that determine, begin, and finish. And then the two of you can split the coffee. You know, I don't have much coffee to give. So determine, begin, and finish. And take it along with you in your spiritual life, in your material life. In whatever you do, sit down and say to yourself, I'm going to do this. And people have achieved so many things in their lives just by determining and beginning and finishing. Whether it's a product they wanted to come up with. They failed so many times. You think about the people that made the light bulbs and telephones and the aircrafts and how many times they failed. Failure is part of the success story. You know, if I try something and I fail, I'm even better than you who just sitting down. You're not trying anything. So at least I've got the experience of trying it. Yes. For you, you know nothing. You're closer to success. And even though the beginning may be very, very, you know, in the book of Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. Everything starts in a small way. When you're 4:10, when you were born, you are not like this. You were a tiny little baby. Then they carried you to church and they prayed for you, or they carried you to a sangoma or wherever. You had no certificate. You had nothing. You didn't start your education from university. You started from the crash. Where they say, this. Everything starts in a small way. There's a great man of God in Ghana, Pastor Yon Santi, and he says that today's big churches were yesterday's small churches. You agree with him? Yes. And he says, today's, you know, big preachers were yesterday's small preachers. Everything starts in a small way. Even the phones, they start and then they say, this is a smartphone and this is a third generation and now the fourth generation and the fifth generation. AK-47, you see? First it started with the flint guns and your grandfathers had to put the gunpowder in and hit it on their wristing. Before they could fire once, it takes a long time. The enemy or the animal has already run away. And then they come up with this, they come up with the shotgun, they come up with the pellet gun, and it comes through. Then somebody's going to come with the AK-47 and the bazooka and all kind of stuff. Even the pistol, it used to be this shiny, shiny, shiny thing. My father has several of them he kept under his beds and whatever. Who's going to use those things now? They become souvenirs in the house now. Now you take the 44 Magnum and can hit it to a wall. Boom. Things grow. And so the Bible says that don't despise the days of small beginnings. You want to set up a company? Maybe start by buying a pen and selling them on the table. You want to become the prayer warrior? Start by praying 5 minutes. But start. Begin.
Amen.
Don't just talk about things. You know, everybody's fed up with your talks. There are talks going on everywhere, on the internet, on the radio, on the TV. What we need is action. It's the action that benefits people. And so let's begin to put action to what we are determined to do. And when we begin to do them, let's not stop by enemies. Let's get to the finishing point. Because life is like a race. When we take you to the race lines, to the field, you start here and we expect you to finish over there. If you don't finish, then what are you training for? There's a finishing point. There's a line over there. And even in our faith, Jesus says that whosoever shall endure unto the end, he's the one that shall be saved. It's not like you become a Christian for 10 years and then you become a sangoma for 2 years. And there's nothing like that. You got to finish. Yes, my brother. That The finishing is when you go to heaven, when you sit in heaven. Until we get there, we're always in the business. And that's why when Jesus was going, he said, occupy till I come. You know that most of the terminology in the Bible are military. And so when we say that the Lord of hosts, it means that God is the captain of the host of Israel. You know, there's no policing terms in there. This thing is all military. Have you heard that, you know, fight as a good police of the gospel? Is that in the Bible? Fight as a good soldier of the gospel. Eh? I'm very sorry if you're a cop here, a police, eh? You still find people. But God is a soldier. He says he's the captain of the host of Israel. And when he says occupy, it means you go and take this land and you plant the flag. That's what the Israeli people are still doing. And you go touch them and then they're going to come inside. This is the land. They're going to break in here and they're going to go here. They're going to put their flag and say, this is Golan Heights. We've taken it. And they're going to stay there until you begin to talk and say, please move back to your own country. Ambush. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, legion. And legion is all military. Yeah? Legion and troops and all those things in the Bible, they are purely military terminology. You know. And you got to do all those things and to occupy. And you got to do that till he comes. There's no point stopping. But whether you're giving, whether you're praying, whether you're learning, whatever you're doing, you got to determine to do it, and you must begin to do it, and make sure you finish it. And if you want to take simple instances like you want to give money, then determine to give the money, and begin to give the money, and finish paying the money you determined to give. You understand that? You said, I want to bring some people to church, then determine to do that. Go and bring them. That man of God, T.L. Osborne, he also says that there's some nonsense in the church these days, and we call it the errand boy philosophy. When Christians sit and say, I send you Spirit of God. Go and do this and bring them here and bring them here. You're a small boy, you got to send the Spirit of God. What's happened to you? You know. Don't send the Spirit of God. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. What do you mean? When you've been sent, then you also go to send the Spirit of God. What do you mean? That's all these things about. You don't know where they come from. You've been sent. You go. Jesus said, go into all the world. And then you also turn around and say, Spirit of God, Jesus said I should go, but you go. What's all this? You can't say that. You got to be determined to go and begin to go. And bring someone. And Jesus says that I'll send you and I'll say you go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So the people you bring to the church, they must remain in the church. Say it, they must remain.
They must remain.
They must remain.
They must remain.
The French people, if they think you're disobedient, that is a term they use, that when we say something to you, it comes through this ear and then it goes out here. Outside. That's no good. And the church cannot be, you know, a disobedient child. When they come, they must stay. Jesus says, your fruits will remain. So you got to determine yourself and say, I'm going to bring someone to the church, and he's going to stay. You got to do all the follow-up. You got to do whatever you determine to do. And we still got some 15 minutes, and I want us to stand and to pray tonight and have a vision for your life. Think about what you want to do for God and what you want to do for yourself. Because that's how Solomon did it. Says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and for his kingdom. So think about what you want to do for God first, and then what you want to do for yourself second. Because that's how Jesus says it. Seek ye first the kingdom, and then all other things shall be added unto you. Come up with some determination. And say, this is what I want to do, God. And I want to start it tomorrow, or next week, or first April. Give a date, the same way the Bible gives dates. Don't say, I leave it for you. Take it yourself. Don't leave it for him. You know, and begin. and then God will help you finish it. Let's begin to pray. Talk to God. Have a vision in your heart and say, God, this is exactly what I want to do. 1, 2, 3. Talk to God about it. It could be difficult, it could be what, it could be big. But tell him, by your power, I am able to do all things. And begin it in a small way. Start it. Start it. Say to yourself that no demon in hell can stop you. Fuel yourself with determination tonight. And set up a date. And tell God you're not going to stop till you're finished.
Keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Determination, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord of God, the Spirit of the living God, give us the spirit of determination to determine to do whatever I want her to do in Jesus.